don't know where to start this episode. I'm recording this Friday, August 28th, because I am going away this weekend. I'm going to be gone probably until sometime Monday, so I really won't have time to hop in and record an episode. I definitely won't have time this weekend to prep an episode. I'm going to be very busy this weekend, but I wanted to record something, and I wanted to get something ready for Tuesday, because I have that privilege. I have that ability to just shut off and go away to, you know, the middle of the woods and sit with my feet in the water and just decompress. I have the privilege to drive a couple hours away and stay in a secluded environment with people that I care about and relax. I have that privilege. And it is privilege. Because it is not something that I earned. It is not something that I built. It is something that was granted to me because of circumstance. Because I have people around me who care and who offer and give me the ability to do these things. But there's somebody who doesn't have the privilege of even being home this weekend. And that is Jacob Blake. Jacob Blake of Kenosha was shot 7 times in the back by a police officer as he was getting into his car. I'm not going to break down that case. I'm not going to break down the shooting. That's not what I do, really, on this show. I know I started the show to do things like that, to objectively look at situations, provide both sides of the discussion, and try and get to the heart of an issue. But there's no getting to the heart of this issue. There really isn't. If you spend any time on social media, it doesn't matter what you say to people. It doesn't matter if we have, with the facts we have, the videos we have, people have chosen a side and they're sticking to that side. And there's no way even somebody like I can say anything that will change their mind. And I have a platform. If you think back, a couple months ago now, I had an episode about the importance of platforms and the concept of deplatforming. And even at the time, I said, my platform is relatively small, but I still reach people. People still text me and DM me on Twitter and, you know, run into me on the street and say, hey, I listened to your show and I learned something from you. And that to me is amazing, and it's brilliant, and I love it, and I love that people enjoy this thing, this little thing that I'm doing. But it's also terrifying, because it shows to me that, like the people that I listen to, like the podcasters that I listen to and the YouTubers that I watch and the people that I follow on social media, people look to me and I influence them, and that's terrifying to me. So it makes me want to do the best job that I can. But right now, my platform isn't big enough to push back on this issue. But I'm going to talk about some people who have a platform that can. So, a couple days ago, news broke that the NBA, a couple of days ago when you are listening to this, but it was yesterday for me, or a little bit over a day ago, the NBA and WNBA led a strike protesting for Black Lives Matter. Started with the Milwaukee Bucks, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, same state of Kenosha, where the city of Kenosha is, where the shooting of Jacob Blake took place. And the Bucks got to their dressing room in Orlando for their game against the Orlando Magic, and they decided to go home or go back to their hotels. They decided that they weren't going to play. And the Magic, instead of taking the Bucks forfeit, said, "We're not going to play either." And that led this cascade of players and teams saying no. The WNBA also joining in, and that led to this cascade, the MLS and the MLB also having players go on strike. This isn't a suspension of the play. This isn't, you know, this is a strike. This is players. And now it seems the NBA is ending, but these are athletes that are saying, "We are withholding this service from you." It'd be different if, you know, it's different than when all the professional leagues shut down. That was a league decision to stop. This was collective action by the players and coaches. And then yesterday, the NHL, led by the Hockey Diversity Alliance, also staged a protest postponing games. And there was a beautiful, beautiful press conference in the Western bubble, where you had members of the Colorado Avalanche, Vegas Golden Knights, Dallas Stars, and Vancouver Canucks all standing together in front of the mics, speaking in solidarity, standing in solidarity, and telling the world why they were doing this. And, you know, they put at the center of this Nazem Kadri, who's Lebanese, Pierre-Edouard Belmar, who is a Frenchman of African heritage, and Ryan Reeves, who is actually from the same city I'm from, Winnipeg. And he's of African-American heritage. They put them at the front and allowed them to speak, which is so important. The reason these protests are so impactful, and I'm talking about the, I'm talking about all protests right now, but specifically right now I'm talking about the walkouts by players. They're so important because these players are not just rich people, they're influential people. They have a position in culture, in academia. It's called a cultural intermediary. They are individuals who occupy a position, a strong leadership position within a certain subculture. You think of, you know, all of the basketball fans in the world. Who do they all think of when they think of their best, their favorite players? NBA players. Where does every basketball player want to get in their career? They want to get to the NBA. Where does every hockey player want to get? They want to get to the NHL. These are heroes to people. These are individuals who stand at the height of their particular field. So they have the ability to affect the discourse in whichever way they want. The ability to influence how people perceive things, how people think about things, what is considered culturally legitimate. Cultural intermediaries have the ability to influence what people in their particular subculture and even broader culture, because they are people of high status with a lot of capital, both fiscal, social, as well as cultural, where they can influence the discourse around issues. what this these strikes, I'll call them strikes just to differentiate them between that and the protests going on around the world, and especially in Kenosha, what these do, what these strikes do, is it takes away people's toy. It takes away their distraction. I, like many people, sank hours, just days, into watching hockey. When the play-in rounds started, I would wake up first thing in the morning, make my coffee, get some work done, and have work on one screen and a live stream of the day's events in the NHL on the other. And I'd watch every single game for the day. That was taken away from people. That distraction from the world. And, you know, this is the complaint you see on Twitter all the time. Is people saying, why are you athletes getting, why are these leagues, why are these sports getting political? I watch sports to get away from politics. I get away to get away from these issues. Athletes are saying, we're not letting you get away with this anymore. We're not letting you hide, bury your head in the sand, and say this isn't an issue anymore, to distract yourself from what's going on outside your front door. And that really is what sports are. They're a distraction. Anybody who's gone through any difficult period in their life has found some form of way to distract yourself to help you process. For a lot of people, turning to sports and watching sports is how they cope with life. We're talking about, you know, media fatigue. People are having issues. They're feeling just down and exhausted by what they're seeing on television and hearing. I have just a Google News feed for the word NBA protest. And it's just every single article. Trump rips NBA protest. Trump attacks the NBA following Jacob Blake protest. Trump calls NBA political organization. Here's one. Chris Webber battles back tears in powerful statement after NBA players strike and protest. And it just goes on and on and on and on for pages and pages and pages. People are tired. But that's the point. When you're tired, you turn away. You seek escape. These athletes are taking that escape away from you. And they're doing it for a reason. It's to make people see. It's to take a stand. There are two things going on here. I gotta break these out because I'm going back and forth between them. I gotta take a second here and just be clear about this. On one side, or one purpose of what they're doing, is to add influential voices, is to take the fields of basketball, hockey, American culture, Canadian culture, you know, and even broader international cultures, take them, stand in front of all of these people and say, we are the people you love, that you believe in, that you want to be like. Be like us and support these issues. Support Black Lives. Stand with these protesters. Seek change. They are using their position as important, influential figures, these cultural intermediaries, they're using that position to point their particular field, their particular subculture, their particular sport or country in the direction of change. They are trying to influence the discourse and the hegemony, the dominant discourse around an issue and a topic. They want to influence the way the common athlete or the common sports fan sees these issues, because they know They've seen it on Twitter. You know, Joe1356788 and every other, you know, guy with joined Twitter in July 2020 and has four tweets. Like, they don't care about the bots and the trolls. They're trying to reach everybody else. The people that can be influenced and changed. Because there are people out there that will not be changed no matter what you say. But there are people on the fence. I know people who are on the fence. I had conversations in the last couple days with people who just completely missed the point of what happened with Jason, what happened with Jacob Blake. They missed it. They completely missed the point that, you know, say, oh, he had this, it was this, it was that. Does a person walking away and getting into a car deserve to be shot 7 times in the back? Were they perceived as a threat? Should they be perceived as a threat when they're walking away? That was the point. That's what the protests, that's what a lot of it's about. That's why people are upset. And we had I had conversations with people about it, and they were changed. They came to realize it. Well, yeah, why was force, why was shooting somebody the option that was chosen in that situation? Why was that the first, why was that the option that was chosen instead of just let him go? It's not worth killing somebody over this. Get him later. You know who he is. Let him go. Athletes don't care about the trolls and the people who will not be changed. They care about the people that can be changed, and that's what they're trying to do. Also, the other thing they're trying to do is what every protest and strike is about. It's about withholding service and making people uncomfortable. If a strike in a protest makes you uncomfortable, then it is working. That's why we have picket lines. I remember a few years in U of M, there was a faculty strike, and people were complaining that they couldn't get to campus fast enough because, and traffic was being held up because the protesters were walking across the streets in the main thoroughfares to get into campus. That is the point. That's the point, is to make you uncomfortable, to disrupt your day, to make you see. That's the point of a protest. That's the point. How do people not get that? And this strike is exactly the same for at least one night. And it's just one night. These players walked out and said, you have to see this. You're not going to use this as an escape. You're not going to sit in front of your TV for 4 or 5 hours and get away from what's happening. You're not. We're not going to let you. Even the NHL was playing at the time. And there were analysts speaking and using that time to point and continue to show people what's going on. To continue to talk about Black Lives Matter and people being killed by the police. That is the point. Take away the escape. Make life a little bit harder. Because that's what a protest is about. That's what a strike is about. It's about making people uncomfortable. Because if you're comfortable, you're not listening. You're not paying attention. That's why platforms are so important, because this was a group of, I'm going to say, I mean, the NHL side, it's around 100 athletes that were able to walk away and say to an entire country, you have to sit with this. You have to live with this today. We're going to stand here. We're going to talk to you about it. But when we're done, you don't get this. You have to go and you have to sit in what's happening. And I know, and this is, you know, for the last couple minutes, I'm just going to talk to the people out there. I know you're tired. I know it's sad. I know it's exhausting. I know. You know, I'm an academic. I had to read so much about suffering. I had to read so much about how people will literally die in this world because of who they are and the circumstances that they have no power over. It's one of those things where I point towards H.P. Lovecraft and I say his ideas were beyond their time. He was a horribly xenophobic man and a racist, and we need to be cognizant of that fact. But his idea of what he deems Yog-Sothothery, the old god Yog-Sothoth, who grants immense knowledge, but it exacts an immense toll. The price of knowledge is pain. The more you know, the more you know that you don't know. And the more that you know, the more exhausting it gets. They say ignorance is bliss, and that is entirely true. To be able to look and see nothing, just your own little life and the things you like, be that comfortable, it's easy. Whew. I wish I could look at the world, I could read a news article, and not feel what I feel. The pressure of the world, the pressure of this knowledge that people have. It's exhausting, and it's painful, and sometimes it sucks, and you just want to turn your brain off. You just want to sit and watch a hockey game. But that's the point. They're not going to give you that, because they don't get that. They have to go through every single day, feeling afraid, feeling threatened. Every single day. We talked weeks ago about the Thomas theorem. That which we perceive to be real becomes real and its consequences. To go through life perceiving every police officer as the potential end to your life, a routine traffic stop becomes like walking into a war zone or stepping through a minefield. That is exhausting. Young black men and women getting texts from their grandparents or their parents saying, please be safe, drive slow, don't give them a reason to stop you because you could die. I saw plenty of that on social media recently. And it's not something I have to experience. I started this episode talking about the privilege that I have to just walk away and stop. People don't have that privilege. I have the privilege of walking down the street and waving at a police officer as they drive by. I have the privilege of feeling safe in my community. I can walk by a security guard and they don't pay any attention to me because I'm a 6'3 white guy. That is something people don't have the privilege of experiencing. The eyes on them, the fear, no matter what. I have the privilege of getting away and turning that off. I have the privilege to walk away. people like Jacob Blake, like George Floyd, like Breonna Taylor, like Mike Brown, Emmett Till, Trayvon Martin. They don't have that privilege because it's their everyday life, or it would be if all but one of them were still alive. And that's where I'm going to leave it for this week. It was a heavy episode. I tried to get away from that recently, but it's not really working because the world is not letting that happen. I want to thank you for listening. If you're listening live on UMFM, thank you for tuning in. If you are listening on Spotify, thank you very much for your download. I don't know what I'm going to talk about next week. I got some time to think about it, but I'm not going to be taking it easy. Not at all. So, everyone out there, stay safe and have a great week.